All right. Well, welcome back to this last segment in the introduction module of Pester here, covering just the basics, getting started. Adam's showing us a lot of great things here about just learning Pester. I'm learning, and I hope you're learning too. So now we're going to kind of button up this section talking about code coverage. So we've showed you how to write, have shown you how to write tests, but we want to make sure that we've tested everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. And code coverage is one way to do that.
Okay.
So first off, let's just briefly say what code coverage is and see what it does. So first of all, code coverage is used only in unit testing. I need to make that completely clear. It's not integration or acceptance testing like we talked in the layers slide, just unit testing code. And what you may think is, code coverage, you may think, well, on the surface, well, code coverage tests how much code that I have actually tested inside of my scripts. In fact, code coverage just tests how much code was actually executed during testing.
Okay, so it's not how many tests I wrote.
Yep, that's common.
It's how many lines of code actually executed.
Correct.
So if, that's really cool. So if I've got 50 lines in a function, number one, that's too big of a function, but if I got 50 lines and I only executed 25, I know there's something wasn't tested in there.
Yep, exactly. It's not a measurement of how much was tested.
Ah.
It's a measure of, you know, if you have a bunch of if then else statements in there, it measures those paths. I call them code paths that were followed. It gives you a good resemblance of, okay,
oh, nice.
If I have 100% code coverage, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have all your tests done, but it means that at least all your code got executed in that process.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's see what it looks like.
All right. So I'll grab a demo here. All right. So first off, we're going to start off with an existing test here. Or existing script. And notice here that this script essentially just a bunch of functions. Just to keep it simple, we just have a bunch of functions. We are writing code the Pester testing way. Everything is a little function. So we have do thing, get thing, and set thing. This could be a module too, really, at this point. So we just have, this is the script that we're going to use to demonstrate code coverage.
Okay.
So the next thing I want to do is, we are going to build a test here, and we're just going to call this dostuff.test.ps1 because our script is dostuff.ps1.
All right. Now you're going to say dot sourcing. Mm-hmm. Some people may not be aware what dot sourcing does. So dot sourcing basically says, take what's in this little PS1 file in this case. It's like an include file concept. It says bring that in and run it, so that I don't have to recreate that code in this script.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah. Exactly. It's just essentially a shortcut way to copying and pasting it directly into the console, just so the stuff's available.
All right,
this
great.
Is what you will find in all of your test scripts. I did wanted to briefly hit on this is because we are bringing in code that may not necessarily be in your session. You'll find either a dot sourcing or an import module, or you're pretty much preloading all of the code ahead of time before you actually run your...
Now, if I have executable code, though, at the bottom, I've got all my function declarations with the executable code at the bottom, that's going to actually run the script.
There you go. Very common scenario that people hit is when I say Pester loves functions, you have to... This makes you separate out your procedural code, your actual code that executed it from your other one. It pushes you to do modules dot sourcing or scripts of dot sourcing or modules to completely separate your execution from all of your other functions. So,
wow.
Yep.
That is going to make some good programmers out there.
Yep. I mean, it's frustrating at first because you're not used to it of separating those two.
Uh-huh.
But you'll find is if you start running these tests, it pushes you towards that kind of mentality.
All right.
So for this, I'm just going to create a single describe block here for get thing. And all get thing does is just write output, I got the thing.
Okay.
Very, very simple stuff.
And dot sourcing it, runs those functions, puts them in memory, now ready to test.
Yep, exactly. And then here, using the AAA approach, I'm going to execute my code. I don't have to do any arrange. This is the act step. I'm going to execute it, say the result to a variable. And then here, it should return, I got the thing. Okay?
Okay.
Great. Should return it. All right, great. All right. Working excellent. It's pretty simple right. stuff at this point.
Let's go run that.
All right.
Just real quick.
So we will run this and see what I actually, we need to use Invoke Pester for that.
Okay, there we go.
All right, should return one. We run the test. That's just running the test, nothing special here. So now let's implement code coverage. You think at the first, you think, oh, it's green, everything's green. I've tested everything in the script. So now you can use the dash code coverage. This is one of the advantages of using Invoke Pester instead of copying and pasting.
Uh-huh.
When you run it in Invoke Pester, pass it the test, the script name or your test coverage. With the code coverage, you tell it, I am testing this script here with these tests.
Okay.
So you explicitly tell it what code that those tests are testing.
All right.
That enables Pester to then look at this and kind of compare how much did it actually run on this. Because if you don't have the code coverage, Pester has no idea, you know, what actually piece of code this is doing. So whenever you run this, now you'll see some red out, but you have a code coverage report here.
Oh.
And it says covered 33% of three analyzed commands in one file. We did this because it can see that there were three commands or functions in this case were in this script. Mm-hmm. So it sees that I thought that you wanted 100% code coverage. You wanted to test all this stuff, but looks like you only covered 1/3 of the functions inside of this script. So it tells you that. And then it says the missed commands here, you didn't write any tests for do thing and you didn't write any tests for set thing. And, you know, even tells you the line 2 and line 10. So this allows you to drill in, okay, I need to write tests for, you know, this function.
So that would be somebody who didn't use test-driven development.
Well, you could really do it for anything. You don't have to use TDD specifically for it. You can just run it. You can run it against anything you want, really, any existing code. And it will tell you, it'll probably be looking ugly if you didn't refactor any of your code to make it testable. But it will tell you which functions were actually executed or even commandlets that were executed that were not executed. So you can again look and see, well, I need to write tests for those sort of things.
Cool.
All right, so now I'm just going to, I just added some more tests in here, one for get thing, do thing, and set thing. And they're typical, you don't even really need to do much in here. So notice that I say, notice no should assertion in here. There's no test. So I'm just writing the test framework. I'm not actually doing any kind of assertions whatsoever. Uh-huh. I just have the framework down. So now whenever I run it, you'll see that code coverage report, 100%. No, it's not because here, I don't have anything in here. I don't have any, I'm not actually doing any code.
But we invoked do thing and set thing.
Correct.
We invoked the testing.
Correct.
So that's showing me that it's measuring what was invoked, not what was actually tested.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. All right. So now to wrap this up, we have a few more granular options we can do with code coverage. So let's say that previously when I ran this, the same command with all of the whole script, it was, 33.33%.
Right.
Now with code coverage, it accepts a hash table parameter instead of just a string. Mm-hmm. And we can pass the path of the code that we are going to be testing and then say, I only want to make sure that get thing was executed. So when you run this, it's going to be 100% because... Yeah.
Score.
See, notice that it only ran analyze one command this time instead of all three. And the same thing could be done with set thing. If I'm just doing set thing, I didn't actually write one for that in that original test. See, I just have the get thing test in here.
Okay.
So it allows you to be more granular to say, did I invoke this function or did I invoke this function?
I'd say that would be handy if you got a really long script to write tests for.
Exactly. And then finally, you can scope it to lines too. Mm-hmm. So I have same hash table, start line, and end line.
Oh.
So in this case, I want to make sure that all the function or the command invocations in between line 5 and 7 were executed.
Oh, nice.
So if I go over here on the original one, you see 5 to 7, the only one here is get thing.
Okay.
So, sorry.
Actually, in the do stuff.
Yeah. 5 to 7, the only thing was get thing. I don't have do thing or set thing in my scope here. When I run this, it's going to say 100% again because we have one for get thing. So that is code cover. It's a really great tool to use as mm-hmm. kind of a second check or a check of yourself to make sure that you really have good test coverage.
Wow. Thank you, Adam. Mm-hmm. This has been a great overview looking at the basics of Pester here, and this wraps up Module 1. So we've looked at then how to download and install Pester. Actually, it's already, you know, one thing we probably should mention is it's already there on Windows 10 Server mm-hmm. 2016. If I do install module, it's going to put another version side by side there.
Yep. I believe 3.4.3. I can't remember what the version is.
So we'll have two versions on there, and that's okay. And so then we looked at the syntax, we looked at testing, we looked at code coverage. That's great. So one other thing we want to do at the end of each one of these modules, we just want to let you know about some extra resources. We already talked about the wiki that's out there for Pester. Adam also is authoring a book. Tell us a little bit about the book.
Mm-hmm. Well, the book is about, it's called the Pester Book, for a lack of a better name. It's about really all it takes to kind of what we're talking here and taking it way deep. So I struggled a lot whenever I was starting with Pester of just the concepts, wrap my head around the Pester. So this book is kind of a representation of the trials and tribulations, the struggles that I went through testing, just implementing testing and Pester in general. So it goes over all of the syntax that we're going over here, plus a lot more. And also it goes into a lot of, I really explain how you can wrap your head around test design. It discusses TDD and a lot of different ways you can apply Pester to a lot of things. So it's kind of like the whole source of everything of Pester that I've learned up to this point.
Yep. So you've got Adam's brain on the page. Nice.
Oh, no, that's ugly.
Adam's brain.
That'd be
we
messy.
Get to look at it.
That'd be really messy.
So then that short link we've created for you is aka.ms/pesterbook. That'll take you out there, and you can also download a free sample just to take a look at it as well. So thank you for joining us. Now, we're not done. We still have much more to cover coming up next in the module. We've got a whole module dedicated to this advanced concept of mocking, so stay tuned.